Today's shiur is Masech Tebeya Daf Chav Ches, and we will begin on Daf Chav Ches Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues teaching us the halachas of how one can obtain meat, buy meat. As we mentioned yesterday, he can't mention the price, but under what circumstances meat can be purchased on Yontif. Yudaimer, Sharkel Adam Basa Kenegra Kliu Kenegra Kupitz. A person could weigh meat on a balance using a utensil or a meat cleaver on Yontif. We're not allowed to weigh meat under any circumstances. And as Mefarshim explained, the Batanur explains that even a kupitz, which no one would suspect is being used to weigh meat, it's a meat cleaver, still, it's according to the Chachamim, may not be used to weigh meat on Yontif. Says the Gemara, my kolikar. What do the Chacham mean when they say emes geichem is kapan's naim kolikar? Amar Yehuda Mishmul, afilo l'shamer min achperim. Even if the person's purpose of putting the meat on the scale is to guard it from mice, the way the scales would work is that they had it hanging from the ceiling, and a person would put the meat on one side and put the weights on the other side of the scale. Here, the person is hanging it from the ceiling in order to protect it from being on the floor and not being eaten by the mice. Still, tell us the Chachamim, one may not put the meat on a scale on Yontif. Amar Avida Bar Avin, for who the Talia Betrita? It's only Usur when the scale is hanging from a ring that holds the scale in balance when weighing an item. However, if that ring, that item that shows that the scale is being used for weight is not there, so it's obviously not being used for weighing, and then the halacha is one could put the meat on it for protection purposes. Mr. Brewer says that similarly, if the weights aren't there, so again, it's a clear indication that this person did not put the meat there for weighing purposes, and he could put the meat on the scale. However, there are other achronim that disagree, and they say that when one puts meat on a scale, even if the weights aren't quite there now, still, when the weights will, the people seeing him put it there may suspect that he will bring the weights, and therefore meat that is being put on a scale should never be put on the scale according to Chachamim. There's also similar shaila in the Rishonim, if one could put the meat on the scale in his home. Perhaps the only place where Chazal said one shouldn't do this is in the store, because as we've been learning, the concern here is mekach u'memker. But in the house where one's just putting the meat, because that's the best place for him to store the meat, it may be permitted. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Tabach Uman, a professional butcher, also Lishkel Basa Biyad, is not allowed to weigh meat in his hand. As Rashi explains, he would take meat in one hand, and he would take a weight in his other hand, and like that he would be able to determine the weight of the meat to know what to charge after Yontif. So there are two interesting shailas here. One shaila that the Rishonim discuss is this halacha strictly with a tabach uman, strictly with a professional butcher, where again there's a concern of mekach u'memka. Somebody seeing him doing this will accuse him of doing business, but another person we wouldn't accuse. Or is this really a halacha that applies to everyone? You're not allowed to weigh meat on Yontif. The Gemara mentions Tabach Uman because usually butchers are the ones that do these things. But the halacha would be relevant to everyone else also. Another machlokes harishonim is what would be the halacha where a person is not taking one hand the meat and one hand the weight and thereby determining the weight of meat. Rather, he picks up the meat and he's able to pretty much identify how much this meat weighs. Is that mutter or asur? From Rashi it seems, and that's the way the Mefarshim explained Rashi, that it's mutter. It's only when he has a weight in his other hand. The Rosh, on the other hand, holds that a doubt too would be asur. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh. However, many Rishonim and Achronim hold like Rashi that if he's only doing it in one hand, it's permitted. V'yomer Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Tavach Uman, a professional butcher, also Lishko Basar B'mayim, cannot weigh meat in the water. So the Mefarshim explain two ways how this would work. One is that they would have a jar, a pail, with markings on the side, like a measuring stick, and the markings would tell us how much meat there was. When we put the weight into the meat into this jar, to the height that the water would rise, we would know how much meat there is there, and that's prohibited because that's called weighing and doing business with the meat on Yontif. Another pshat is the way they would determine the weight of the meat is by displacement. They would fill up a pail with water, put a piece of meat into that pail, and based on the amount of water that was displaced, they knew how much meat was removed from the they knew the weight of the meat. Here too, there's a machloikis. Is this only a tabach uman? Only a professional may not do this, as that's the girs in the Gemara. And again, because by him there's always more of a concern that he's trying to do business. Or is this halacha, the way most Rishonim actually learn the Taisus Rid, that this is really a halacha that applies to everyone? V'amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, also lasis beisyad b'basar. It's prohibited to make a handle in a piece of meat, because when one makes a handle in the piece of meat, so according to Rashi, it looks like he's going to do business. He's making a handle in the meat, and that's how the meat is going to be to transport it. Others say that it's usur because it's like he's making a keli. He's making a handle, which is tikkun keli on Yontif. Another reason, the Rambam says, is uvda d'chol. And as the Mishnah Brewer says, what is the nafkamina la halacha between these reasonings? He says, what will be the halacha if one makes such a handle in his home? If the reason is that it looks like mekach memkar, so when I'm doing it in the privacy of my home, I'm just making this handle so it should be easier for me to be able to carry the meat, it should be permitted. However, if the issue is of the dechol, or making a keli, it would be usur even if one does it in his own home. Amar Ravina, however, Ravina says, if somebody doesn't use a knife to make this handle, he just carves it out with his hand, since that's certainly not of the dechol, that doesn't look like business, shari it's mutter. And in fact, the Mishnah Brewer says there used to be a minig that they would make a hole in the afikoymen, Pesach by night, and hang it up. He says, since there's no issue of the dechol, there's no issue of doing business, people don't do business with the afikoymen, it's permitted to do that on Yontif, Pesach by night, at a Seder. Omer Rav Huna, Mutter lasa simen mebasar. A person can make a simen in a piece of meat. Kiha de Rav Bar Rav Huna mechatik leyatlas karnsa. He would make like a triangle, as we see the diagram of Rashi. As Mefarshim explained, the halacha is that basar shenas alam and ayin, meat that is not in our, is not under our control, is usur. So the way they would be able to keep it mutter was by making a simen to know that it wasn't exchanged, and making a simen is mutter. There's a machloikis if one could engrave or carve out into the meat a letter. Most paiskim, starting with the Maril, say it's usur. The Shev Yankif says that it's mutter. Furthermore, the question is, when we're making this triangle that the Gemara clearly says is mutter, can it be made with a knife, or does it have to be made by hand? The Rashba says one could even use a knife to make the simen. However, the Aruch Chaim does quote Paiskim that say it should preferably not be done by using a knife. And the Ritzina Rav has a tshuva based on this Gemara. What can, when one bakes or cooks on Yontif, could he make or bake items that have a certain tzura? Could you bake a cake that looks like a letter? So the Debitzina Rav says, If one is, for example, making hamburgers or knedlach, and he's forming them into balls or into hamburgers, he says that's clearly mutter. He says, because that's just, they're made in that shape because that's the most convenient way to eat. But it's not because, says the Debrei Tzina Rav, that the person has specific shape in mind. Furthermore, he says, if one is baking a challah and he braids the challah, that too is mutter. He says again, when one braids a challah, it's not that there's a specific shape in mind. Challahs are made braided, but there's no specific shape in mind. However, he does say that one is making a specific shape, a letter or a diagram or whatever, whether it's a cake or a food, that he says one should refrain from doing based on this gemara. Rav Chia, Rav Shimon b'Rebbe, Shaykla money k'neged mana b'yontif, would weigh one portion of meat against another portion of meat on yontif when they would divide the meat amongst themselves to make sure that they each got an even share. Ask the Gemara, come on, according to whom did they do this? Like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbanan. This doesn't agree not with Rabbi Yehuda, nor what Rabbanan taught us in the Mishnah. Ik Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda taught us, Haimer, Shoykel Adam Basa Kenegara Kliya Kenegara Kupitz. How could one way, he could use a utensil or a meat cleaver, Kenegara Kliyan, but only using a utensil, which is usually not used for weighing. That's the only way Rabbi Yehuda allows us to weigh meat on Yontif, Kenegara Mita Achrina, but to use another piece of meat, Loi, Rabbi Yehuda would never allow it. And Ikra Rabbanon, and certainly this doesn't agree with what Rabbanon taught us, because Ha'amri, the Rabbanon taught us, Eimash Gichim Bekaf Maznaim Kalikr, we're not allowed to do any type of weight. Answers the Gemara, in the Ovik Rabbi Yeshua. They were acting according to Rabbi Yeshua, the Tanya Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shoik Lamana Keneg Mana B'Yontif, we may weigh one portion of meat against another portion of meat on Yontif. Om Rabbi Yosef, Halach Rabbi Yeshua. The Halach is like Rabbi Yeshua. Hoyel V'Tanan B'Bukharis Kvasei. Since we have a Stam Mishnah in Mesechta B'Bukharis that is like his Shita. And the Mepharshim point out, even though we have a rule in Shas, Machloikis, at first we have a Machloikis, V'achakach Stam, and then there's a Stam Mishnah. That's an indication we should follow the Stam Mishnah. But say to Mepharshim, that's only when the Stam Mishnah is following the Machloikis in the same Masechta. But here, the Machloikis is here in Masechta Beya, and the Stam Mishnah in Masechta Bechairis, which is not even the same Seder, it's Kachim. So the Mepharshim say, actually, the Gemara could have asked this question, but the Gemara anyway will prove that this Mishnah Masechta Bechairis really doesn't necessarily have anything to do with our Mishnah. But the halacha is that if one was Magdish a Behema and it becomes a Balmum, it should be redeemed. How is it redeemed? It's sold, and the value, the money received, we buy another carbon with it. Similarly, as we've been learning earlier in the perek, that if one has a bechor that becomes a balmum, it becomes the property of the kohen. A meiser behema too can be eaten by the owner. Says the Mishnah Masechta Bechairis, there's a fundamental difference in the way the halacha treats a behema that becomes blemished and a bechor. A behema that becomes blemished, as we just said, whatever is received when we sell it is used to buy a new behemoth for a carbon. So you want to get the most money possible. And therefore, even though there may be an issue of bazaar kachim, taking such a behemoth to the meat market, but we want to get the best price and maybe take it to the meat market. However, Bukhar Bamum, where there is no such a consideration, could not be sold publicly in the market. It could only be sold with sinner. Actually, by mice, the Gemara says there, we even more machmer. It can never be sold, only if it belongs to Yisayimim. Says the Mishnah, Tetnan. The Mishnah says in Masech Bechares, Besula Migdashim, when a behemoth that's carbon becomes disqualified, Hanaasim LaHegdish, the money that we receive for that sale goes to Hegdish. V'shoik L'mana K'neged Mana B'Bechar. Even though by Bechar we cannot sell in the meat market, we can weigh one piece of meat against another portion. So it says the Gemara, just like the Mishnah Masech Bechor says that weighing one piece of meat against another piece of meat is not considered unacceptable by Bechor, the same thing, it should be acceptable on Yontif, which supports Rabbi Yeshua's position. Amalei Abaya, V'demalayhi, the comparison is weak. At kan lekom Rabbi Yeshua hocha, over here Rabbi Yeshua is makel, the lek of B'zayin Kotchim. We're not dealing with B'zayin Kotchim when we're comparing the size of two pieces of meat. Aval Hossam by Bukhar, as we just explained, the Ika B'zayin Kotchim, where we're concerned about B'zayin Kotchim loy, Rabbi Yeshua may not agree that it's permissible to weigh one piece of meat against another piece of meat. Inami, on the other hand, at kan lekom Rabbana Hossam, Ashlam Melchse the Uvdika, there is no concept of the chol, and that's why we could be makel by bechor. Aval hocha, when we're concerned the mechzik of the chol, loy chazal would be more machmer. So the Gemara said that the way Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon bar Rebbe divided meat amongst themselves, they would do monik and agamama, which means lamer the kapta dadi. They were careful, they were particular with each other that they should not, one shouldn't get more than the other. Asked the Gemara, is that the way they acted with each other? For Hanushir bin Sados Lebe Rebbe, once there were seven fish that were delivered to Rebbe's home, Vishtaka Chomish Minai Be Reb Chiya, five of them were found in Reb Chiya's home, for a couple of Shimon Rebbe, he didn't care, even though he got five fish, and he got two fish. And the Farshim say, from here we see, that if two people have a relationship, that they're not makbid one or the other, it's not called Gezela, if one takes a larger portion than the other. Other Mefarshim say the reason why Rav Chiya was allowed to take a larger amount, because Rav Chiya was supported by Rebbe anyway. So if he, his thinking was, if I won't take a larger portion, Rebbe anyway will support me and give me whatever I need. So therefore Rebbe certainly won't care if I take more than him. So why were they doing money k'neged mana? This wasn't their relationship. Amar Papa, Shadi Gavri Benayu. We have to put another person in between them. It wasn't Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Berebi. It was either Reb Chiya, Reb Shmuel Berebi Yossi, or it was either Reb Shimon Berebi and Bar Kappara. We begin now the sugya of Machshirei Oichel Nefesh. As we've been discussing, Oichel Nefesh is Doicha Yontif. We're allowed to do Malach Oichel Nefesh and Yontif. Here we're talking about preparation of Oichel Nefesh. As the Mishnah teaches us, we're not allowed to sharpen a knife. Sharpening a knife is not actually Oichel Nefesh, it's only Mechshir Oichel Nefesh. However, Masi al Gabi Chaverta, one can scrape one knife against another knife. Amar Rafuna, so Rafuna makes a statement. This was only discussing a stone meat knife sharpener, a wood meat sharpener, knife sharpener, mutter is mutter. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul. So Rav Yehuda Mishmul comes to qualify Rav Huna's statement. Hada Amar Shel Evan Asur. This though he said that a stone knife sharpener is prohibited. Lo Amar Al Charata. It's only if our purpose is to sharpen a knife. Aval Havish Mnusa. If our purpose is to remove the grease, mutter, we could even use a stone sharp knife sharpener. Mechlal, according to this understanding, the Bishal Eitz, a wood knife sharpener, a fil chadada, even if the purpose is to sharpen, nami muta would be permitted. As the Shita Mukabet says, if so, why does the Mishnah mention that how could you sharpen a knife by putting one knife against another knife? The Mishnah should have said that you could use a wood knife sharpener. Says the Shita, that sharpening a knife by placing one knife against another knife is more effective than a wood knife sharpener. And that's why the Mishnah chose that approach on how to sharpen a knife versus this approach. Ikedemasinla. However, others learn Rabbi Huda's statement of qualification of Rav Huna's statement, a sefer on the end of Rav Huna's statement. Rav Huna said, B'shalaitz mutter, you're allowed to use a wood knife sharpener. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Hadam Rav Shalaitz Mutter. This that we say we're allowed to use wood. Loyamarn El Avisham Nusa. It's only if the purpose is to remove grace. Av L'Chata. If the purpose is to sharpen the knife, Osir. You can never use a knife sharpener, any type of knife sharpener, to sharpen a knife. Mechlal. If the purpose is to remove grease, but I'm using a stone knife sharpener, also that may not be done. And others learn Rav Yehuda's qualifications not referring to Huna, but to the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Emesh Chizin as the Sakim V'yontif, when now we had to sharpen a knife from Yontif, on that Omer B'yudah Mishmul, Loi Shana L'chadator. Only for my purposes of sharpening the knife, that's Osir. Avel Havashem Nusa, if my goal is to remove the grease, Mutter, it's permitted. Mechlal, Dalgabe Chaverator, if we're putting one knife against another knife, V'yafil L'chadator, even if my goal is to sharpen the knife, Nami Mutter would be permitted. Victim Aslan Saif and others learn Rabbi Yehuda is referring to the end of the Mishnah. It's said in the end of the Mishnah. Av Masiya Gabi Chaverto, one knife could be put on top of another knife. And that says the Gemara, Amr Yehuda Mishmul, Loi Shana Havishem Nusa. When can one knife be put on top of another knife if the purpose is to remove the grease? Av L'chata, if the purpose is to sharpen, Osir. Mechlal, according to this understanding, if a stone knife sharpener was used, there are fil avishim nusa, even if the purpose is just to remove the grease, also it would be prohibited. Says the Gemara, man tana de mashchezes also. Who's man the omer that says you're not allowed to sharpen a knife in yontif? Says the Gemara, omer avchizda, the like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like Rabbi Yehuda. The tanya, because we know Rabbi Yehuda says, ein bein yontif l'shabbos, ela oichel nefesh povad. That only oichel nefesh may be done on Shabbos, according to the Chachamim, and Yehuda matter af machshira yochel nefesh. Even something that's done for machshira yochel nefesh is permitted. So according to him, you would be allowed to sharpen the knife. The Sefer Noyim Megodim explains homiletically this words of the Gemara. Ein ben yontif l'shabbos el yochel nefesh povad. He says the difference between Shabbos and yontif is that the purpose of Shabbos is for a person to develop a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of Yontif is for us to develop a relationship between each other. How do Jews develop a positive relationship one with the other? When they enjoy a meal together. Ein bein Yontif l'Shabbos. What is the difference between Yontif and Shabbos? Oichel nefesh. That on Yontif we all eat together. That's how we engender the relationship we need on Yontif. On Shabbos, since the purpose is to strengthen our relationship with God, therefore there's no het to feichel nefesh. Amalei Ravel Rav Chizda, Darshina Mishimcha, should we say in your name, Halach Krab Yehuda? Amalei Rav Chizda responded, Yehi Rava, the Kolke Hai Mili Malyasa, all such wonderful statements, Tidrishim Mishmoy, should be mentioned in my name. Aram Nechem Yibreid Rav Yosef, have a ke'imna kamei de Rava. I was once standing by Rava, for have a ka marvelous akina pumda de gukla. He was rubbing his knife over the rim of the basket. Ramrilay, and I asked him, l'chadudei kavod mar, is your purpose in doing so to sharpen the knife, or l'havishnem nuso, just to remove the grease? Vamli, and he told me, l'havishnem nuso, my purpose is to remove the grease. V'chazise, however, says Rav Nechemya, I really saw v'chazita l'date that his really his purpose was l'chadod the kovet, that he was only doing it to sharpen. He was really doing it to sharpen the knife. However, v'kusavi he held halacha v'emirin kain, that even though the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that machshirei echal nefesh that cannot be done before yontif may be done on yontif. It's that's the halacha, but we don't publicize it. Why don't we publicize it? Because we're concerned that people will make the mistake and even do machshirei oichel nefesh that are mutter on that could have been done before yontif. That's why Chazal said that all machshirei. That's why Chazal did not publicize this heter of machshirei oichel nefesh. And the mefarshim discuss how do we identify what is a machshirei oichel nefesh that could have been done before yontif or not. Certainly, if something could have been done Erev Yontif and it wasn't done, Rabbi Yehuda will not permit it. But what would be the halacha if somebody knows, let's say Yontif is on Wednesday, and somebody knows on Yontif he'll need a sharp knife, and he says, he decides that he'll sharpen it on Tuesday, Erev Yontif. He could have sharpened it on Sunday, Monday, but he decided he'll do it on Erev Yontif, and on Erev Yontif he actually was busy and couldn't do it. He was busy with other Yontif preparations. Is that considered Machshir Eichel Nefesh that it could have been done before Yontif or not? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to be machmer. He says if the person knew Sunday, Monday that he's going to need a knife and he should have sharpened the debt, and then he waited for the last minute, that's not called something that could have been done, that it couldn't have been done before Yontif. There's another interesting shaila. Let's say one has a knife, and we have a 2-day Yontif, and on the first day Yontif, his knife becomes dull. Now he doesn't need that knife anymore on Yontif itself, on that day, the first day Yontif. He needs it on the second day. So could he sharpen it on the second day? The Big Day Yesha says, this is a perfect example of something, of Makhshir Eichel Nefesh, that could not have been done before Yontif. Before Yontif, the knife was fine. It became dull on Yontif, and according to the Big Day Yesha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, such a knife can be sharpened on the second day Yontif when he needs it to cut the meat. The Maril says he can't sharpen the knife. He says an interesting svara. He says, as we've said so many times, when we have a 2-day Yontif, l'chumra we always consider that day as perhaps it's not Yontif. So we may treat the first day Yontif as Yontif, but when it's a chumra to treat it as Erev Yontif, we treat it as Erev Yontif. So here on Erev Yontif, the first day Yontif, he should have sharpened the knife. Of course he couldn't, because it was Yontif. That's what the Big Day Yesha argues. But the Maril says, the Chumr we consider it Erev Yontif, and he didn't sharpen it on Erev Yontif, so now he can't sharpen it on Yontif. Vom Rabaya, I was standing in front of my Rebbe, he was rubbing a knife on the edge of the millstone. Is your purpose to sharpen the knife, or just to remove the grease? My point is to remove the grease. But I really saw that his real purpose was to sharpen the knife. However, he held, we don't publicize that Makhshir Eichel Nefesh may be done on Yontif. And that is actually the halacha, that we don't publicize that din. There's an interesting shaila, how far do we go with that? For example, there's Machloikis, the Marsham, and the Aruch HaShulchan. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, Halacha Ve'Emayrin Kein means that we don't publicize it and say it in a drasha. But if an individual comes and asks the Shaila, says the Aruch HaShulchan, one could tell him that Mechshir Eichel Nefesh that could not have been done before Yontif can be done in Yontif. The Marsham disagrees, and the Marsham says that even to an individual, one should not say it, that he does seem to be more lenient, as does the Shulchan Aruch Rav seem to be, that if the person asking the question is a Talmud Chacham, then we could tell him that Allah is the Mechshir Eichel Nefesh that could have been done before Yontif, that couldn't have been done before Yontif, could be done on Yontif. Similarly, says the Taz, if one knows the halacha himself, he learned the Shir, and he knows that Apidin, Mechshir Eichel Nefesh that couldn't have been done before Yontif, Amutah to be done on Yontif, he could be Mekel. Similarly, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, is one, if one has a shir in Shulchan Aruch, one gives a shir in Shulchan Aruch, and they come to this din, certainly there's no reason that that din should be deleted or skipped when teaching the shir, and the halach is that you could teach the shir that Mechshir Eichel Nefesh that could have been done, that could not have been done before Yontif, can be done in Yontif. Actually, we are machmer, and we'll discuss that more in the next year, that not only Mechshir Eichel Nefesh that could have been done before Yontif may not be done in Yontif, but even Eichel Nefesh itself that could have been done before Yontif and wouldn't affect the food should be done before Yontif, not in Yontif. And if one does Eichel Nefesh, a Melach of Eichel Nefesh in such a way, he should do it with a Shinui. The halacha is, Chazal teach us Masech Techulin, that when one, their form of slaughtering was different than we do it nowadays. We nowadays have slaughterhouses where we have shaychtim and mashgichim and baitkim. They used to have that every butcher would shecht an animal as needed in his own meat shop. The halacha, Chazal tell us, is that the knife has to be sharp and smooth, no nicks, and has to be given to a chacham to check before the shechita. There are a number of reasons given. One is that if the bedika will not be done before the Shechita. Someone may forget to do it after the Shechita, and if the knife wasn't proper, he will end up doing eaten a vela. Another reason is that we make a bracha on the Shechita, and if the knife wasn't properly prepared, we would be making a bracha of atala because the animal will be in a vela. Another reason is Chazal don't want us to make animals into nevela only if it is a nevela, and therefore using a knife that's not properly prepared is an issue that you may be making an animal knowingly into a nevela. The Rosh says that this din of taking a knife to a chacham doesn't really apply nowadays, because as we said earlier, we now have slaughterhouses, this was already in the time of the Rosh, which have the proper staffing. Ask the Gemara, Ibailu, Ma lahara sakan l'chacham on yontif? Could somebody show his knife to the chacham on yontif? Rab Mori Bure, the business shari, said it's permitted. For Rabbanan Asri, the Rabbanan say it's osur. For Rabbi Yosef Amma, Talm chacham roi la'atzmai, Talm chacham could show it to himself, umashila lacherim, then give it to anybody else. So there are a number of reasons given by the Rishonim why it should be prohibited to show a knife to someone else. Rashi says that taking the knife to the chacham looks like mecha chamemke. Why am I taking the knife? Because I want to cut meat and then afterwards sell it. The Rif says we're concerned that if one has to take his knife to the chacham, he may walk chutz l'tchum. The Balamar says the concern is, as we learned in the previous shiurim, it's just like declaring a bechor is a balmum. And the Rambam says the concern is that if the chacham will tell him that his knife is not properly prepared, he may come to fix it on Yontif, which would be Tikkun Keli. And therefore, according to all of these understandings, we could well understand why a chacham may look at his knife. First of all, he looks at it in the privacy of his house, so there's no concern that he's going to go chutz l'tchum. There's no concern that he's going to do mekach memkar, because he's doing it in the privacy of his home. It's also not a declaration, because he doesn't need to rely on someone else to declare the status of the knife, because it's like paskening any shayla that we described in the earlier shurim this week, that paskening a shayla is mutter and yontif. And also because he's a Talmud Chacham, he certainly knows that if his knife is not properly prepared, they can't fix it on yontif. The Pri Chodesh says that not only may a chacham look at his own knife on yontif, and as the Gemara said, then lend it to someone else. It's not, says the Pri Chodesh, that the chacham could do it if somebody comes to his house and asks, can I borrow a knife? And he happens to have a good knife, he could show it to him. He could give it to him. A person, the Tam Chacham may, says the Pri Chodesh, set up such a situation where he knows that he doesn't need the knife. It's only his neighbor needs the knife. He could prepare the knife, check the knife, not prepare the knife, check the knife, and if it's good, lend it to someone else. The Levush says that, as we know, the meaning is that we also check a knife after the Shechita. He says the discussion now, Gemara, is only regarding checking the knife before the Shechita. But after the Shechita, certainly the knife may be checked. Vamar B'yaisuf. Sakin Sh'omda. If a knife became dull, the halacha is mutter l'chadad b'yontif. It could be sharpened on yontif. So as the Mefarshim explained, even Rabbi Yehuda, who was saying is makel and allows machshirei eichel nefesh that could have been done cannot have been done before yontif to be done in yontif, a knife that develops a nick, a begima, certainly can't be fixed on yontif, because that should have been done before yontif. Here we have a knife that was sharp before yontif but it became dull. So according to Yehuda, mutl chadad b'yontif, however, v'hani milu hu d'paska agav durka, it's still that sharp that when you apply pressure, it still will cut. But if it's not that sharp, it can't be used anymore. Some say because if it's that dull, it's a bit tircha. And others say that it's actually tikkun keli when one sharpens a knife that is so dull that it can't cut even with pressure. Darsh Rav Chisda v'Tamer Rav Yosef. Achet sakin shenifkama, whether a knife that became nicked, vechet shvud shenirtsam, or spit whose tip broke off. Vecha grifas tana b'kraim b'yontif, shoveling out an oven or stove on yontif. Bonal machlokes of Yehuda Rabbanan is machlokes of Yehuda Rabbanan. Titania, ein ben yontif l'shabbos el oichel nefesh povad. And these are not oichel nefesh, they're only machshir oichel nefesh. Yehuda matter af machshir oichel nefesh. And these are situations of machshir oichel nefesh. There's a machlokes rishonim. What is the issue in cleaning out, shoveling out an oven? Rashi says that the issur is tikkun keli, that you're clearing it out, you're making it into the keli. Tosfos quotes a sheet that says that it's also because of shvui gumois, we're flattening out the floor, and that's called binyan. Tosfos doesn't seem to like that pshat, and Tosfos seems to learn that it's an issue of makab patish. Tosfos also says, why isn't there a concern that the coals are muksa? So how can we move them? So the answer is, from here we see that something which is muksa may be moved l'tzorich oichel nefesh. My tam the Tanakama. Ask the Gemara, what's the reasoning of the Tanakama who holds that machshirei oichel nefesh may not be done on yontif? Amakra, hu levado ya'asu lachem, hu v'loi machshirav. Only it, and not machshirei oichel nefesh. Yehuda amakra, lachem, lachem l'chol tzorcheichem. Everything that you need to do, even machshirei oichel nefesh. Ask the Gemara, Tanakama k'siv lachem. What is the Tanakama going to learn from the word lachem? Amalcha, says the Tanakama, hahu lachem, I need the word lachem to teach us lachem v'loi l'nachrim. Asks the Rishonim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how will he know the halacha is lachem v'loi l'nachrim? So there are a number of answers given by the Rishonim. The Shita says that Rabbi Yehuda learns two dinim from the word lachem. One is lachem v'loi l'nachrim, and the other hand, he learns from the same word lachem l'chot r'chechem, that even machshirei oichel nefesh are permitted. Another teretz is that the Torah uses this word lachem twice in the Torah. Once in Shemois, hu levado ye'asu lachem, and then in Bamidbar atzeres tiyo lachem. Another teretz is that Yehuda doesn't need a pasuk to teach us that nachrim, we can't do oichel nefesh for nachrim. Because, as we've been explaining, that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that machshirei oichel nefesh may be performed in yontif, but machshirei oichel nefesh that could have been done before yontif, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, may not be done in yontif. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if machshirei oichel nefesh for a Jew, if they could have been done before yontif, may not be done on yontif, certainly something explicitly for a guy may not be done for yontif. Ask the Gemara, according to Yehuda, Vidach Nami Haksiv Hu, what does he do with the word Hu? Answers the Gemara, Amalcha, Ksiv Hu. On one hand it says the word Hu, and Ksiv Lachem, V'lekasha, Kam Machshirin She'ef Shal Asayis from Erev Yontif. Those Machshirin cannot be done on Yontif, even according to Yehuda. Kam Machshirin She'ef Shal Asayis from Erev Yontif. That, Rabbi Yehuda says, may be done on Yontif. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Shvut Shenistrif, if a spit becomes bent, also lasakne v'yantif, and may not be repaired on yantif. Asking my pshita, of course, isn't that tikkun keli? And it certainly should be aser. Answers the Gemara, like tzrichad afka demifshe biyadei. It could just be bent, straightened out with the hand. I would think that it's mutter, kamashmon, that it's aser. V'om Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, shvut shetzol b'basa, spit on which meat is roasted on yontif, also l'taltel b'yontif, it may not be handled on yontif, it's muksa machmas mias. V'ad ba'ave omer Rabbi Malkia, shomtoi, one may slip it away, omenichai b'keren zavis, and put it in a corner. Says Rashi, however, he should not handle it directly, he should only do tiltum and atzat. Furthermore, qualifies the Gemara this din and says, Amrav Chibarashi, Amrav Huna, Vushieshulov Kazayis Basar. When can we move it in such a manner if it still has on it a size of meat, a piece of meat the size of a Kazayis? So therefore, I'm moving it because of the piece of meat. Other Rishonim have a different Girsa who say that if there's a piece of meat the size of a Kazayis on it, then it can be moved under all circumstances. We're only dealing in a situation where it has a piece of meat that's less than the size of Kazayis. Ravina Amma, even if there's no meat on the spot, on the spit, mutal tatloy, it can be moved because it's dangerous to have in the house. Midah have a kodesh b'shus rabim, just like a thorn in the b'shus rabim, which could be dangerous, maybe moved pachas midal and amis, even though it's us to carry in Shabbos. This too, even though it's mukzah, may be carried because it's dangerous. Amrav chinan abereder of ikah shvud, the halacha regarding about the spit that we just discussed. Shvachas, the Gemara in Masechta Ksuvos teaches us that even if a woman brought into her marriage many maidservants who could take care of all the household needs, says Rav Eliezer, she has to still do certain household things, because if a person doesn't do anything, it could come to sin. And gumois, the halacha is that a Jewish woman is considered a male too. So when they have two hairs, that's a siman that they're adult. So he says gumois, if there are the pores where those hairs grow out of, even though we don't actually see the hairs, that is sufficient proof of adulthood, was said by Rav Malkia. Blurious. The halacha in ancient times, the Oydei Avodah Zarah would cut their hair in a certain way to show that they were serving Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says that one may not give a haircut within three etzpos of the place that the blurious were left. So he shouldn't be helping in Avodah Zarah. Eifa Mikla, the Gemara Masechta says that one can't put ash on an open wound to heal it, because that ash may remain permanent and it looks like he's making a tattoo. V'gvina, the Chazal said we may not eat the hard cheese of Goyim because they used to smear him with lard. Those were said by Ramalkiyo with an aleph. Rapapa has a different way of identifying what was said by Ramalkiyo with an aleph versus Ramalkiyo with a vav versus a malki with an aleph. Masnisa and a masnisa, anything that we find in a mishnah or a brisa was said by Rav Malkiyo with an aleph. Shmaitz is something referring to what the Meroim said was said by Rav Malkiyo. V'simonech, and if you want to remember who said what, masnison, something said in a mishnah, brisa, malkasa is like a queen, takes primacy, and that's similar to the word malka. Maibinai, what's the practical difference in identifying who said what? Ikibinai shvachis. The difference is the din, where we spoke about a woman who brings in many maidservants, which is a mishnah. So according to Rav Popper's understanding, that was said by Rav Malkiyo with an aleph. According to Rav Hinabarei de Ravika, it was said by Rav Malkiyo with a vav.